Thank you, Cindy and Cooper. Years is a long time to live with somebody in marriage, and Everett and Ruby are celebrating 60 this week, and why don't you give them a hand. You see in your bulletin some celebration going on this afternoon at Cindy's place, at Cindy and Mike's place, and you're invited, and directions, I think, are on the counter in the lobby, and that's from 4 to 7, is that right? So, congratulations, Ruby, for making it with Everett. Endurance. You have heard me talking and us talking about Baptism Sunday on September 30th. Hope you're praying about that. I received this just this last week. I thought you might enjoy it. About a preacher who was having his own Baptism Sunday. And it was down at the river. And there were several baptisms going on. There was a fella who had too much to drink, stumbled upon the special occasion, and lo and behold, he ended up in the river beside the preacher. And he's standing there in front of the preacher. The preacher's overcome by the smell of alcohol, and he's taken back by this fella standing next to him. He knows he needs Jesus. He says to him, "Are you ready to find Jesus?" The fella said, "Yes, I am." So the preacher took him and just dunked him underneath the water, baptized him, and brought him up. And he said, "Brother, have you found Jesus?" The fellow said, No, I have not found Jesus." Preacher, shocked at the answer, didn't know what to do. So he just dunked him again, dunked him a second time, and held him under a little bit longer. And then he brought him up out of the water and he said, "Have you found Jesus yet?" The fellow said, No, I've not found Jesus." And by this time, the preacher's just kind of at his wit's end. He doesn't know what to do other than just baptize him again. He dunked him a third time and held him under for about 30 seconds. And when the guy started flailing his arms and his legs and such, the preacher pulled him up and said, "For the love of God, have you found Jesus?" The fellow's coughing and spitting up water. He's trying to catch his breath. And he said to the preacher, "Are you sure this is where Jesus fell in?" I hope on September 30th we will have some people who will be finding Jesus when they are baptized into Him. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it shall be opened. But what man is there among you that when his son shall ask for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" I contemplated whether I should even preach on this passage of Scripture or not. Simply because over the last year, we have talked about prayer how many times? I mean, we've hit it over and over and over again, the importance of praying. And so it actually crossed my mind, do I really need to preach on this passage of Scripture or not? But then I began to wonder, have we really gotten it? And I don't know that that's even good English, have we really gotten it? What I'm asking is, have we put into practice what Jesus has modeled for us and what He's taught us, what He has commanded us? It's so easy to let His words go in one ear and out the other. It's easy to hear a sermon. And maybe even at some point before we get out the door, if you cross paths with me, you might shake my hand and say, "Hey, Kevin, that was a good sermon. I really needed to hear that." And then we go out the door and we forget all about it. We're not moved to action. Now, if you are one who is moved to action, that's a good thing. That's a God thing. And that's certainly what God is looking for. He is well pleased when we become doers of His Word. In fact, Jesus, here at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, is going to hit hard on that we need to be doers of His Word. And so my question is, as we're talking about prayer again, have we gotten it? Have we disciplined ourselves in this area of prayer to become better prayer warriors? I play racquetball there at Fort Scott once or twice a week there at Buck Run Community Center. And I've noticed every time I go in there to play racquetball, just right there adjacent to the racquetball court, there's an exercise room. And there's always people in there. I mean, they're working their muscles. They're working those weights. There's guys in there that are working those weights. And they're grunting and they're groaning and they're moaning. And it sounds like they're really working hard. And I think they are, because I'm seeing their muscles. And if there's a skirmish, I want those guys on my side, because their muscles are rock hard. And there's girls in there, and they're working the weights, and I don't want to get crossways with them either, because they'd put a hurting on me. And I see them on the treadmill, and their endurance is admirable. I mean, they go and they go and they go. There's one guy that has especially caught my attention. His name is Scott. And Scott is in there. If I'm in there at 5:30 in the morning, Mondays or Fridays, Scott is always in there. And he's on the treadmill, and he's going. He's going on that treadmill. And he'll be there when I arrive, and he'll be there when I leave, an hour to hour and a half later. He's still there on that treadmill, and I mean, he's going. And Scott's no spring chicken. He's in his 70s at least, maybe in his early 80s, and he is disciplined in exercising his body. And I admire him. And I talk to him while I'm in there, and I learned something about Scott this last week when I was in there on a Friday morning. Because my friend Corey was talking to Scott, and in the conversation, it came up that when Scott leaves the community center, he goes up to the football stadium. And I said, Scott, what are you doing going up to the football stadium? What are you doing up there? He says, "I run the stairs." He's in there on that treadmill. I don't know how far he goes, but I'm thinking he's going from here to yonder on that treadmill, and then he leaves and goes and runs stairs at the football stadium. He's disciplined in exercising his body. Do you know what Paul says about that? He says bodily discipline is good, but godliness is better. In fact, I have it on the screen for you exactly what he says about that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, he says, "For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." If you discipline your physical body, there are benefits to that. But no matter how much you discipline that physical body, you need to understand that is a temporary thing. Because eventually, your body is going to wear out. Godliness, though, on the other hand, will benefit you here on this earth and for all eternity, Paul says. So, giving attention to our prayer life is going to grow us in our godliness. And that's how I'm tying all of this together. We need to be disciplined in our prayer life. Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. What are you asking God for? Think about that. What are you asking God for? What are you seeking Him for? What is it that you are knocking on His door about? And by the way, if you look into any commentary that you can find, it will tell you that the original language in that passage of Scripture infers to the fact that we need to keep on asking. We need to keep on seeking and keep on knocking. It's not just a one-time ask. It's not just seeking God once about something that is on our heart. It's not just knocking once on His door and letting that be it. No, it's knocking and knocking some more. It's seeking Him. It's asking and then asking some more. What is it that you are asking Him for? We need to be like that woman, that widow woman in Luke chapter 18, who persistently cried out to the judge for justice, and eventually He granted her request just to get reprieve from her. We need to be persistent in our prayer life. The Lord God of this universe is inviting us to ask Him for thanks. I wonder what might happen if all of us together began fervently and persistently asking Him for lost souls to be saved. What could happen? I mean, it gives me a big smile on my face to think about what September 30th might look like here at Reinhardt Christian Church. I wonder how many people could be reached. How many folks that we may have thought in our minds, that person will never be reached. They'll never come to Christ. I wonder how many of those kinds of people could come to Jesus on September 30th if every one of us took this seriously about asking God for lost souls to be saved, about seeking Him in behalf of lost souls, knocking on heaven's doors for lost souls to be saved. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and to him who seeks he shall find, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. I think back to that night in December when Tracy had her little baby Amelia, and everything that could go wrong did go wrong that night. And as the word began to get out that their lives were in danger, people began to pray fervently. The elders and their wives gathered at the hospital. We were all asking and seeking. We were knocking on heaven's door for God to save Tracy's life and Amelia's life. And so many of you were praying those same prayers fervently at your home as that text came to your phone and you saw what was going on with Tracy and Amelia. You, like me, began to pray fervently, crying out to God for a miracle. And if your night was like my night that night, there wasn't a whole lot of sleep, because we were praying all through the night. And that next morning, as we gathered here for church, we were in a spirit of prayer. We felt a burden that morning, and the sermon was laid aside, and we just prayed. That's what we did. We prayed that morning, asking God for a miracle. We did not want the Simmons family left without a mama. And so we knocked on heaven's doors over and over again that morning and for the next several days. And praise the Lord, He heard our prayers. Amen. He answered those prayers our prayers moved the heart of God to reach down and do what seemingly was the impossible thing to do. He spared both of their lives. And I'm wondering, what if we prayed with that kind of fervency and that kind of intensity for lost souls to be saved? What if we took it that seriously? You know, not having a preacher's going on his soapbox again. No, that we would all feel this burden for lost souls, that souls are hanging in the balances, and those souls need to come to Jesus. We should take it that seriously, because we're talking about a soul dying and entering into eternity without Jesus. If that person hasn't come to Christ, then we are talking about that soul dying and entering into a Christless eternity. And the Bible is very clear about the tragedy of that. Luke 16, Jesus tells a parable about two men who died. One of those men went to heaven and enjoyed the glory of heaven. The other one, though, went to hell. And if you read through that account, you realize that you don't want anyone from your family or any of your friends to go to that dreadful place where they are crying out in agony and they are begging for a drop of water to cool their tongue, and that for all eternity. We don't want that for our loved ones, and so we pray for them fervently and consistently, and we keep on seeking, and we keep on knocking on His door in their behalf. And that's just praying for lost souls. There's all kinds of other requests that we might have. Jesus says, ask me. Seek me. Knock on my door. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? And then Matthew 7:12. I want us to look at that verse this morning too. Therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them. For this is the law and the prophets. You ever wonder where the golden rule came from? It came from Jesus right here in the Sermon on the Mount. Let me read it to you from the New International Version. It says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Really, this is the second great commandment that Jesus is later going to give to us that final week of His life. He said in Matthew 22:39, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He commands us to be proactive in our love. We are not to just sit back and do nothing. Rather, we are to do to others as we would have them do to us. Recently, my son had asked us to bring his truck home with us and try to sell it for him, and so we did. I had several calls on it. I actually had put it on Brandon Malone. It has a piece of property right on one of the main drags there in Fort Scott, and I had asked Brandon if I could put my truck on his property. He said, sure. And we had calls on it, and finally, one person settled on a price with me. He and I met to make the deal. He counted out the money to me, and then as he gave it to me, I counted it out a second time just to be sure, and we were together on the transaction. I got his money, he got the title, and he got the keys to the truck, and we left. And I went straight to the bank. because I was going to put the money in the bank in the checking account, and then I was going to write my son Jonathan a check and send it to him. He lives in Columbia, Missouri, and I'm there at the bank, and I think, you know, I probably ought to count this just a second, another time, make sure. And so I count it. I count it all out, and I couldn't believe it. When I got to the end of that pile of money, I had $100 more than what we'd agreed on. And I thought, this can't be. This can't be. He counted it and I counted it and we were together on counting it. This, I made a mistake. And so I counted it another time, and sure enough, I had $100 more in my hand than what we had agreed on. Time to party. Woo! Now that was my flesh saying that. And the spirit all of a sudden says, no, no, no. You call him right now and you tell him that you owe him $100. And I did. I listened to the spirit. I called. And I told him what was the deal, and he was happy. I was happy. The Lord was happy. And his wife was happy too. And so I met up with him, gave him his $100 bill back. It actually had become an opportunity for me to witness to him and share Christ with them, to be a representative of Jesus. In fact, they were at the concert last Sunday night. And I'm hoping we'll see them more here at church. But it really is an opportunity to witness. Cindy and I were at the Dairy Queen in Nevada a few weeks ago, and we ordered 2 hot fudge sundaes. And if I'm remembering right, it was right close to $5, just shy of $5. And Cindy gave a $10 bill to the cashier. And so I'm thinking in my mind, we should get a little bit of change back and a $5 bill. And so we were a little bit confused when the cashier gave us a little bit of change back and $15 back in change. And I'm looking to see, did we give her a 20? I thought we gave her a 10. And sure enough, we'd given her a 10, and Cindy beat me to the punch. She says, I think you've given us too much money back. And that girl was so grateful. She was thankful. And Cindy said, we're Christians, and we want to be honest. However you want people to treat you, what? So treat them. For this is the law and the prophets. You want people to be honest with you? Then you be honest with them. Do you want people to be kind to you? Then you be kind to them. Do you want people to forgive you? Then you be the first to offer forgiveness to them. Do you want people to give you encouragement? Then you be one who is encouraging them. And we could run with that for quite a while, couldn't we? Do you want people to love you? Then you be the first to love them. Don't wait for them to love you and then you act on that. No, you be the first to love them, and then they'll be more inclined to love you back. Again, we are to be proactive in our love towards others. The Good News Translation says it this way: do for others what you want them to do for you. And you understand that always the Lord is watching, and he is honored through us, or he's dishonored, disappointed. There's a little more to the truck story that I will tell you. My son had the truck listed for $4,000 or best offer. So this fella that eventually bought the truck had called me, and he looked at it and he made me an offer of $3,250. And I checked with my son and he agreed to that price. And the buyer had, he told me, now, after he'd offered me $32.50. He said, "Now I gotta check with my wife first and make sure this is okay." And so, all right, I'm knowing this is still not a done deal. He's got to go through his wife. And I didn't hear from him for a couple of days. So I really thought it was probably not going to happen, but I decided to call him. I called him. I said, "Hey, I haven't heard from you. What are you thinking?" He goes, "I tell you, I want it. I want the truck, but all I can come up with is $31.50. You see, he's gone down $100. He said, "All I can come up with is $31.50. That's out of my account, and it's out of her account. That's all we got." And so I'm actually sitting in the room with Jonathan, my son, and I know what he's going to say, but I want to hear it from him. I said, "Jonathan, he's saying $31.50 now, and it's all he's got. He's cleaned out his account, her account, $31.50. Will you?" He goes, "Tell him I'll sell it to him for $31. I said, "He said $31.50. He said, "Tell him I'll sell it to him for $31. I don't want to drain him dry. He's got to put gas in it." And so my son says he'll sell it to you for $3,100. And now he's confused, and I got to explain it to him. You know what? You know what I found out from that whole experience? It's really fun to live by the golden rule. It's fun. However you want people to treat you, so treat them. For this is the law and the prophets. If you try the golden rule, you're going to like it. You're going to be blessed by God the Father, and Jesus is going to smile down upon you. Now, will we always be successful in living out the golden rule? No, we won't. We're sinners, but we thank God for his amazing grace. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he was always thinking of others. He modeled for us how to live. And so help us as we seek to live out this law of love, this golden rule, treat others as we would want them to treat us. Help us with that. And may you be the one who is honored. Not, you know, as people give honor to us and want to pat us on the back and tell us what a good person we are. Let's just pass the praise on to Jesus, because it's all due to him. Bless this church, God, this body of believers, as we go out into our communities this week. Would you help us to live this by this law of love? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, please.